Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to greet you. We'd also like to welcome you in Christ's most holy name today. And I trust that where you are, it's warmer. We're doing better here, down here in the southeast. We got about 8 to 10 inches of snow. Awfully cold there several nights, down around 12 or 13 degrees. But the weather's breaking. Things are getting better. We're digging out. I know I'm not as in near as bad shape as those further up the East Coast. But I find it kind of amazing. I'm preaching from the book of Jonah. The storm was named Jonah's. Some people have given me attribution saying you're way ahead of the time, but I wouldn't necessarily take that kind of credit. I just was led weeks and weeks ago to get into the book of Jonah for the purpose of speaking the word of God to the people. We never know what tomorrow might bring. None of us do, and thus it behooves, it necessitates that we walk accordingly to the word of God. Your life must succinctly line up with God and his most holy word. But we do thank God for his much grace. We had all snow a few miles south, 40, 50 miles. They had a lot of ice, loss of power. Thank God we didn't lose our power. But if we did, we're prepared with a generator so that we can get through the times of difficulty. Proverbs 27:12, a wise man foresees trouble coming and takes refuge, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now, they're not punished because of sin. They suffer because they did not prepare for what was coming. And that's why we need to be prudent, pragmatic. There is such volatility, such uncertainty in America today. And regretfully, it will only become more tenuous as the Lord tarries. I want to play a beautiful song simply entitled Daystar. Before we go into the word, listen closely to the words of the song. I pray it will minister to your heart, minister to your life, because it does speak volumes.
Fill the earth by me. Let your sweet aroma fill my life. Brother Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty, God's sight. Fairest of 10,000, make me your reflection of your light, of your light. I pray, day star shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. And make it right. in the night. Oh, lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door. Let your words speak to me. Show me what I've never seen before. Lord, I just want to be a witness. I know only you can take what's wrong in me and make it right. Day star shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Day star shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
That should be the heart of every believer. Let your love shine me that I might tell more people about Jesus, the Lord Christ, the Son of the living God. We want to go back today and pick up in the book of Jonah. This is the 9th program, and only God knows how much longer it will take me to get through these remaining 2 chapters, but I've sensed the presence of God and his addition to the Word of God, trying to explain to us where we are as a nation and why it is imperative that we are obedient and that God is longing, desiring ministers to stand up and preach the message of repentance. But regretfully, there is a profuse lack in preaching repentance. I want to pick it up in verse 7 through 10. Jonah chapter 2, verse 7 through 10. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I want to pick you back up in verse 3, where the Bible says here, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. When we forsake God's word, we then will ultimately fail to take heed to the Word of God. Any Christian, any believer, any child of God, any church, any ministry, any minister, any nation that ultimately forsakes the Word of God also forsakes their mercy. We cannot forsake, we cannot abandon, neither can we fail to take heed to the word of the Lord. I'm always amazed and marveled at how many people are so quick to take it upon themselves to point out the flaws, the errors of others, yet they seemingly think they're flawless in their own lives. Jesus said in Luke 21:34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart become overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. You better start taking heed to yourself and give a full examination of yourself and your heart and your walk with God, and quit being a busybody meddling in other men's affairs. Yet we, with rapidity, we see people who are nosy busybodies who are trying to delve into other men's affairs. Jesus said, take heed to yourself. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You see, there's such little Bible preaching today. So people then are not driven to pursue the word of the Lord. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And the Greek simply means to run out like a leaking vessel. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time you allow the word of God to leak out of your vessel or your heart. Remember the words of Paul the Apostle, 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That is twofold. That is the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Word of God. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Luke 24:49, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. These are the things, unless we take heed to the word of God, we will let the word of God, we will let the Holy Ghost leak out of us like a leaking vessel. I'm appalled at the shallowness of so-called Christians today. When we forsake the word of God, then we will fail to take heed according to the word of God. People say, well, I pray, but I don't live right. Well, then you're a sinner. I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I want to say that again. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I am a blood-bought, born-again child of God, called to be a saint. I was a sinner before I was born again. Now that I'm born again, I'm not a sinner. I'm called and I'm elected of God to be a saint of the Most High God. But that's a cop-out. Well, we're all sinners saved by grace. I'm not a sinner no more. That's what I was before I was saved. 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So now we're not called to be sinners, we're called to be saints of God. The people want to water it down. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me when I pray. Let me quote that again. Psalms chapter 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You've got to become a vessel of honor. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Sin must be confessed for God to show us mercy. When Jonah began to confess his sin, God began to show the man of God mercy. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. When you keep listening to these lying charlatans, you will ultimately lose the mercy of the Lord. Wickedness is what brings punishment and destruction in a nation, a country, or a people. Well, God is so kind, God is so just, He would not send judgment on this nation because this nation is this and this nation is that. We're the most vile nation on the face of the earth. Psalms chapter 7, verse 11, God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Psalms 10, verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. Do you think Obama thinks about God and the judgment seat of God when he lies to this nation? Do you think Hillary Clinton thinks about God and the judgment of God when she lies habitually to this nation? No. Do you think the Supreme Court reprobates, envelop God in their decision-making process? No. Why? They're wicked. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. They think they're smarter than God. The Bible says, Psalms 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what we serve, live under. Tyranny of fools, not only in the White House, the Senate, the Congress, but in most churches we sit under a bunch of foolish rhetorical jargon that claims to be some type of Christianity. It's a sham. It's a fake. It is a fraud. It is a farce. It's not God and his uncompromised word. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 5, the righteousness of the perfect or mature shall direct, or the Hebrew says, rectify his way. The righteousness of a mature or a perfect Christian shall direct his way or rectify, correct him if he's going the wrong way, going the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. But the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Wickedness will make you fall. Wickedness will destroy you. Wickedness will damn your soul. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You see, the Antichrist is the personification of wickedness. Wickedness. And brothers and sisters, this nation is unbelievably wicked, if I must say so. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah now has a willing and repentant heart. Thus, he is now willing to offer sacrifice of thanksgiving. What is the sacrifice of thanksgiving? It's a literal extension of the hand of one, his hand being reached out, extended to one that's of greater authority with a confession. God, I reach out to you in confession. I reach out unto you in admitting, acknowledging of my sins. Thus, after my confession, I then give thanks. Why? Of his grace in my life. Psalms 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth thee all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You see, when you begin to take heed to the word of God, you get the mercy of God because now you're willing to repent of your sins. Thus the psalmist David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy, 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 holy name. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All men owe a debt to Christ. I said all men owe a debt to Christ because of the price he paid when he hung upon the cross. The old gospel song, I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt that he did not owe. Paul, following his conversion, understood the gravity of now being redeemed on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 9, he says in Romans 1 and 14, I am now a debtor. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise, to the unwise. In other words, I am a debtor because Christ has redeemed me. I must preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. I must preach repentance. I must preach redemption to everyone, whether they be wise, whether they be unwise, whether they be Greeks, or whether they be barbarians. I am a debtor to Christ to preach the word of God. I tell you, by the sniveling, whining, pathetic preachers, they don't feel like they have a debt. As Paul said, I am a debtor. They act like God owes them something. Can I tell you, God does not owe any of us anything. He paid for it all at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. That's where redemption begins, at the cross. I don't want to hear that kind of preaching. I want to hear that bless me preaching. I don't understand prosperity preachers because if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul, what has it profited you, my friend? None of these men, when they die, are taking any of their jet craft with them. They're not taking their yachts. They're not taking their penthouses. They're taking none of it with them. So they remind me of the rich man in the book of Luke. The Bible said, Jesus, that there was a certain rich man who sowed seed and the ground brought forth much. And he said, This will I do. You can find this parable in the 12th chapter of Luke. This will I do. Because I've sown all of this, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and I will bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I'd rather be rich toward God and be a pauper. By the way, the man used the noun, pronoun, I, six times, the number of man. What shall I do? Because I have no room. This will I do. I will pull down my barns. I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, I. Sounds like Obama. Barack Hussein. Sounds like that man to me a little bit. Kind of narcissistic. All he can talk about is himself. Somebody sent me an email just last week from another person, and I counted the term I, or I am, I don't know, 30 times, and I just told the guy, I said, man, look at what the person is saying. I am. I said, they're narcissistic. They don't see it till they print it, but then if they got any common sense, they'll realize I'm only talking about myself. I had a lady one time wrote me a letter while I was pastoring, and the letter was 2 pages long, and she used the word I 38 times. I returned her letter to her. I highlighted the word I, and I said, I think you wrote this to yourself and not me, because it was all about you. I. Let's see. There was someone else in the Bible, if I recall, that had that same disposition and spirit and heart. Let's see. Who was that? Some of you out there, help me. Who was it that used the word I so much about himself? Oh, that's right. It was Satan. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend into the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Oh, that's where that spirit comes from. You see, as I said 2 weeks ago, when bearing a cross, you don't have time to be involved in the trivialities of this life and of this world. You only have time to keep your eyes on Jesus, that you do not fall by the wayside while bearing your cross. Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and daily take up his cross and follow after me. Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. That's a direct quote from Psalms 3, verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Revelation 7 and verse 10, and I cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Peter in Acts 4:12 said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way. Jesus said it clearly in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I hear these spineless preachers say, well, there are many ways to get there. You're lying, sir. There's no other way. There's no other way. I don't care what they tell you. Islam has no way to Jesus Christ. None. There's no such God as Allah. There's only one God. Satan is a fallen angel. There's only one God. But Satan transforms himself into an angel of light to make people think there is another God. Joseph Smith. And he was no prophet, Muhammad. He was a child molester. Not a prophet of God. Jonah. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Again, God demonstrates his power, his deity, and his majesty in speaking to a fish or a whale. God said to the fish, the whale, go up to the coastline and puke my servant out on the seashore. He came out with seaweed and everything else wrapped around his head. He probably stunk pretty bad too from the stomach acid. Jeremiah 10:6 says, for as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, for thou art great and thy name is great and might. Only God, Jehovah, can do these things. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God can make a whale swallow a man, tell the whale, now go vomit him back out. Only God can tell a fish, go down there in the Sea of Galilee, get that gold coin off the bottom of the sea that fell out of a ship, a fisherman's boat, and put it in your mouth, and come up to where Peter is, and he's going to catch you, and you give him that gold shekel to pay mine and Peter's taxes. Only God can use a prophet to stir the waters and an axe head begin to float and come to the surface again. Only God can speak to a jackass and it turn around and speak to its master. Only God can command a raven to bring food and feed the prophet Elijah. And of course, the rooster preached probably one of the greatest messages Peter the Apostle ever heard, because Jesus said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. You talk about an all-discerning God. He knew before the sun would rise. Peter would curse and swear and say, I know not this man. And however many minutes or hours through that parenthetical time after Peter started cursing and swearing, I don't know this man called Jesus. God don't lie. God's word does not lie. Men lie. Men lie on the word of God. What a shame. What a disgrace. Men twist. They wrest. They convolute the scriptures to their own destruction and damnation, Peter said in 2 Peter 3:15 and 16. Jonah chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. That's the same commandment in chapter 1, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. You see, the message does not change. Now, the messengers of today keep trying to change the word of God, change the message of God. The first recorded words out of the mouth of Jesus in Mark 1:15 was, The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Where are the men preaching repentance and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ? Where are they? Well, we gonna keep preaching the law. Is that what Jesus told you to preach? He said, preach the gospel. Paul said, preach the gospel. See, they don't want to preach what God says to preach. They want to preach what man wants to preach. I'm gonna preach this. I'm gonna preach that. You know, people were making statements, Pastor, you're ahead of the curve, already teaching, preaching on Jonah. I don't need any attribution. I'm just trying to obey God. I'm just a paper boy. That's all I am. I'm not anything. I'm not the only one preaching the truth. There's a handful of righteous men still left out there. We're far and few between, but there's some of us still left because God is faithful to his word. People are not going to be without a message and without a messenger. God will not let that happen. You'll take uneducated, unlearned buffoons like me and say, preach what I tell you to preach. Now, it doesn't always go over too well. I'll admit that. They don't like my kind of preaching today. That's why most pastors don't want me coming to their church. As a pastor of 27 years, I sought out God-called, God-anointed men to stand behind my pulpit. Yes, I said my pulpit because God put me there. And I wanted men to come in to stir up the church, stir up the people, stir up me. It's easy to become complacent. It's easy to become apathetic. It's easy to become indifferent. It's easy to become lukewarm. 99% of the people that write, my wife and I say fundamentally one thing. You keep challenging me to pray, to fast, to stand the word of God. That's my job. That's my business. These other hirelings, these other charlatans, they could care less about your spiritual temperature. They dead and cold themselves. How can they preach fire? There's no fire in their belly. There's no Holy Ghost in their heart. There's no fire on their lips to preach the word of the Lord. None. And then guys like myself come along, preach uncompromisingly. Well, I don't like him. God never asked anybody he called to be popular with the people and to preach so that people like you. Preach what I tell you to preach, Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city and preach unto it the preaching that I've told you to preach. You don't preach what you want to preach, son. You preach my word. You preach repentance. They're going to hell, and their blood will be on your hands if you don't preach. These preachers sermonize. Well, you can go to the bookstore, any Christian bookstore, and get you a book that'll outline a whole year's worth of sermons for you. I don't say this arrogantly. I've never bought one in my life. I go to God, what do you want me to preach, Lord? Preach what I tell you, Jonah. So what did Jonah go and preach? Jonah went and preached two things. He preached the judgment of God and repentance. Few men of God are left today that are preaching repentance and preaching the judgment of God because it is offensive to most people. Can you imagine Hillary Clinton sitting under one of my messages? She'd get her detail to go get me out of the pulpit and throw me out. That Jezebel. That's right. I'm too powerful. I'm too great to sit under that country podunk preaching. I want somebody to appeal to my intellectualism. Preach. Preach what I bid thee. You don't preach what you want to preach, preacher. You preach what God bids you to preach. You don't have the sermon. He has the sermon. He is the message. You're just the messenger. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing what preachers think they are. I love to say, God gave me a message. I love to say that. God gave me a word. I heard from God. God put this in my spirit. God put this in my heart. I love those golden nuggets. I love those powerful revelations and insights by the Holy Ghost. I love it when God gives me something powerful. I have nothing except I receive it of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jonah, this is the second time, son. I'm telling you, you go to that great city, you preach unto it the preaching that I bid you, that I tell you, that I command you to preach. You don't preach what you want to preach, Jonah. You preach what I tell you to preach. You preach, thus saith the Lord. That's what you preach. You preach, thus saith the Lord. Isaiah 58:1, God told Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Tell them where they're living, son. Tell them if they keep living where they're living, they're going to die and go to hell. That's what you tell them. I can hear Isaiah, but Lord, don't make me do that. They won't like me. They won't like me if I preach that, Lord. I want people to like me, Lord. I want people to brag on me. I want people to pat me on the back. I want people to send me tithes. I want people to send me offerings. I want people to give me money. If I preach like that, they may not give me anything. No. I don't think that was Isaiah's disposition. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Show them their sins. Have you noticed all these preachers, how effeminate they're looking? Wearing eyeshadow, eyeliner. Hey, come on now. I'm going to be a nice guy today. I'm not going to call any names today, but look at them. So effeminate. They don't even have a manly voice. They must be taking estrogen or progesterone supplements, I suppose. They got little squeaky, whiny, fairy voices. No thundering from the Lord God. Where are the sons of thunder today? Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom. You think Paul preached judgment? I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. Reprove, rebuke. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. How do you think these preachers make it today? Because people have paid them to preach garbage. They paid them to preach junk. They pay them to preach trash, and they pay them to tickle their ears. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their, the congregation, the people, after their own lust, shall they heap, they'll pile up teachers, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will turn away their ears from David Lankford. They'll turn away their ears from the purity of the preaching of the word, and they'll be turned unto fables in the end. See, that's the danger. When you reject the truth, what's left to embrace? That's right, a lie. When you reject the truth, there's only one thing left to embrace. That is a lie. You can't have it both ways. You see, the word fables there really talks about mythology. It's something that's fabricated by the mind and tried to be superimposed against that which is real and actually true. That's why it's called trickery, chicanery. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to superimpose a little of this, a little of that over the word of God and make you think. Make you think in a different perspective. That's Satan's objective. He superimposed a lie, a fable over thus saith the Lord. When you eat, you shall surely die. You shall surely die. He superimposed that over God's word. See? Preaching. You just don't hear preaching anymore. 99% of the stuff you see on television, on radio, is, it ain't even good teaching. No, it's not even good teaching. It's pathetic. Where are the preachers today? Where are they? Preach. The word preach means to declare a special message to a certain recipient, and the purpose of preaching is to elicit a specific response. We don't have that kind of preaching anymore. Now, I preach repentance. And then, of course, in preaching repentance, I'm seeking by the Holy Ghost to elicit a response which would be called repentance, confession of sins. When I preach on the Holy Ghost, I'm looking for a response, an illicit response that is specific for people to seek God for the Holy Ghost. I preach on fasting. I expect people to respond and fast. I preach on prayer. I expect people to pray. That's the purpose. That's why he said, preach, Jonah. Preach repentance. Preach what I bid you. Preach what I command you. Preach what I tell you. Now you know as well as I know, 99% of what's being preached today is not what God has commanded to be preached. If you think preachers are preaching the heart of God, you're deceived. There's never been a greater necessity of preaching repentance than there is today. Never before in the history of this nation, preaching repentance. Repent, repent, repent. I'm getting more and more response from people that are becoming broken, contrite, crying, weeping, tears, praying, repenting every day, praying, repenting every day. God, get me closer. Why? They know something's coming down the pike. The Holy Ghost broods over them, and they discern we're in a very tenuous hour. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach repentance to those sinners that they might be saved, and I not execute judgment upon all of them. Now, where are your little prissy boys preaching that, trying to negate and stop the judgment of God from falling on this nation? Where are they? When I go to Dallas and march to preach, as we say here in the South, bring your big boy britches. God has put a message on my heart. And I promise you, it will be a powerful, anointed message with conviction. And it will probably offend numerous people, upset people. But I have one opportunity to preach, and I'm going to obey God and preach what the Holy Ghost has already laid on my heart. Now, God is about to open some serious doors for this ministry, and I don't have the prerogative, neither the privilege to say anything as of yet. But I had a prophecy given to me a year ago this past November when I hurt my leg, and my doctor was so afraid I might have a blood clot in my calf. When I went to the emergency room, that woman began to prophesy to me and my wife. When I stood there at the counter filling out the paperwork, she said, I feel something emanating off of you. I feel like I'm touching you. She said, in 2 years, your ministry is going to explode. I can see God already arranging things right now, getting me positioned and postured and placed for what he's getting ready to do. I don't say that with pride. I don't say that with arrogancy. I say that with the utmost humility, because it's not about me. It's about the message. It's about the message. not about the messenger. Never has, it never will be. I'm so sick and tired of preachers thinking it's about them. It's not about you, sir. It's about Christ. If you stay crucified, it's never about you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not about the man. It's about the Christ of God. I need another hour. And I don't have but a minute and 30 seconds. Preach, Jonah, what I tell you to preach. These men are cunning. They're crafty. They're charlatans. They're sensual. They're vain. They're devilish. Their wisdom is devilish. It's not the wisdom of God, James said. It's devilish. It's out of hell. Sounds good. It looks good. It's not good. It's not good. Because it's not, thus saith the Lord. It's to manipulate people. It's to coerce people. It's to take people down a path of destruction. You better take heed to the word of the Lord. Time is running out. Time is running out. God is commanding, God is charging all of us today to sanctify ourselves, sacrifice unto the Lord, commit yourself to the Lord, wholly give yourself to Him. He'll touch your heart, He'll touch your life. Thank you for your prayers, thank you for your love, thank you for your support. I'll be back here tomorrow, God willing, again at this same time to bring to you once again an uncompromising message from the Word of God. By God's help and by God's grace, I will always preach to you the Word of the Lord, in season and out of season. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.